Pray with me. God, we give you thanks and praise for this day, for this opportunity to come and reflect, to just take time out of this busy season, to just be. Bless us, O God, as we continue to do this great work. We offer you the meditations that rest on our hearts and lift them up to you. Remind us that it is the words of our transformation that change the world. Let us be mindful in our deeds and our words. Amen. This is the last Sunday of Advent. We have reflected on hope, peace, joy, and today, love. Words that have lots of different meanings, but in the context of Advent, are actually words to empower us, to charge us, to equip us, to hope. A longing to prepare, an action to offer peace, a notice to wrap ourselves around joy, and an invitation to the greatest challenge and opportunity there is. Not just to love, but to receive love. Joseph has the least said about him in Scripture. Of all of the birth narrative, Joseph is kind of sidelined, or so it might seem. But in reality, Joseph made it happen. Joseph had this clear sense of what it was he was going to do when Mary arrived back from her time with Elizabeth. She came back a woman carrying a child. Now, just for a minute. Now, for those of you who are same-gender loving couples, you might not get this. But for opposite gender loving couples, you're betrothed, you're going to marry this person, you have all these dreams and ideals, and she goes to visit an aunt and comes back a few months later and she's pregnant. What's your first thought? Cheated, fooled around. She is betrothed to him, right? They're going to get married. And what happens? She comes waltzing back in. Hi. Missed you, babe. And he looks at her like, doesn't look like it. Imagining that she for a moment could actually be carrying the hope for the world. Now, Joseph, as Scripture tells us, being a sensitive man, unwilling to expose her to public disgrace. I'm not sure how these two things go together in this one sentence. So he's unwilling to expose her in public disgrace, but he decides to dismiss her quietly. Puts on his Facebook page, available. But on the way to the computer, as he's reaching in his phone to flip to that Facebook page, he has an encounter. An angel appears, appears to him in a dream saying, Joseph of the lineage of David. Now, that might not mean anything to you all. But anytime the lineage of David goes together in a sentence about anybody, they automatically become a somebody. Or their somebodyness got pointed out. Joseph of the lineage of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child in her is God's child. Yeah, right. Come on. Get in the story with me. If you're Joseph, even an angel might press hard to convince you that the baby in Mary came from God. Come on. Let's get real here. Can I get a witness? I mean, I don't think there's any of us in the room if you know, girlfriend of your son says, well, Mom, she told me God put this baby in her. What am I supposed to do? It's got to be God. I mean, who else? Come on. Wrap ourselves around this for a minute. Here's what happened for Joseph. Joseph woke up. He was changed. He was open. And he made a different plan. Because he realized more was at stake than just what people will say about him and Mary. And you know they will say it. Hello. How many of you would say it? Be like, dude, get this. You're not going to believe it. He's going to marry a woman God put a baby in. I'm not sure who's more looped out. But, you know, as I said last week, we know the end of the story, so it's hard for us to see it or hear it or imagine it in any other context. This was huge. Joseph wrapped himself around Mary. He got it. After hearing the news, after contemplating walking away, nicely, of course, he spent some time. Through the experience of a dream, he spent some time in deep thought and realized there were other lives that would be impacted by his decision and decided to stay committed to what God called him to do. Now, if you're struggling a little bit with this whole thing, I want to kind of shift the circumstances, because under all this is fear, right? A lot of decisions that we make are decisions we make out of fear, whether we can name it or not. I thought long and hard, grappled with my fear and concern about what might happen if I take a sabbatical. And then I sat with the reality if I didn't. Do you know that pastors really have a hard time finding time to prepare for Sunday? For the service? For the sermon? For you? Because we're busy during the week. Now, I'm a little exception. I got that. Most pastors are not laying tile or building rooms or digging for a toilet line. But aside from all of that, there are a lot of things that happen in the life of a pastor that oftentimes eliminate our opportunity to really study. When I thought about my need to grow deeper in this work, I got afraid because I thought if I take a sabbatical, if I'm gone a Sunday, attendance drops by 30 people, if I tell you. If I tell them I'm going to go on a sabbatical, what will happen? And then when you heard the words, pastor's going on a sabbatical, anybody get afraid? And what did you think? And I know I got some feedback from your comfort circles, but I just thought I'd give you an opportunity to say it out loud before I do. What were some of the things that you said? Attendance will drop. Afraid I'm not coming back. Can I get a witness? So isn't it interesting that we're both kind of holding a fear about this event? I'm afraid you won't come to church, and you're afraid I won't come back. What if we name that as the angel Gabriel fell upon MCC Tampa and said to the congregation, "Do not be afraid. If you come to church, you might actually get something whether the pastor's here or not. She might actually come back whether you're here or not. So do not be afraid because you didn't come here because of her to begin with. You came here because you were hungry for the good news of God's love. So why would you leave? Because she's gonna go study some more." I want to share with you a letter I got. Now, I had to do some wordsmithing here because I don't want you to know who this is about. I'm just going to tell you it's a member of the church. But I want to share this letter with you because I want you to understand how important you are in this thing we call church. The letter starts off, "Hello, Pastor. One of my siblings is a member of your church. I just wanted to drop you a note of thanks. I am so happy that they found your church. Something was missing in their life, but it is missing no longer. I am so glad that they have found a spiritual community that they have connected with and have become a member of. MCC welcomes everyone, no matter who people are or who people love. It is unfortunate that not all churches are as welcoming or subscribe to this method of building their congregations and fellowship. But I still hope there will come a day the churches like MCC will become the norm, not the exception. It is obvious in our phone conversations or during our visits, which are not as often as I would like because I live in another state, that their church and their faith have become a central part of my sibling's life that has helped them tremendously. My sibling has become a very centered being, and I contribute that to their connection with MCC and the hard work that they have done on their heart and their life. I rest easy knowing my sibling is in good spiritual hands with you and your church. May you all have a blessed Christmas and a new year filled with unexpected joy." My friends, she, in this letter, is talking about you. You make somebody's world, somebody's life complete. That's not the work of one person. That's the work of all of us. We are on this journey together. This church is a church because of your part in it, not just because of my part in it. We must do this together. Amen? Our journey, our spiritual journey, is not unlike Mary and Joseph. God calls us to step out into a place of fear all the time. This morning, Brian Arnett got up and called for the offering. And I'm sure in a fleeting moment of, hey, I have something to share, he sent me an email thinking, oh, she'll never take me up on it. Can I get a witness? But I know transformation. I know what it looks like. I know what it does to us. It was the community that wrapped around Brian and nourished and nurtured him through the journey of self-discovery, of realizing that death is not the way out of pain. That new life can rise up in the belly of fear and guide us to some place we can't even imagine. Joseph just knew the angel Gabriel told him to take Mary by the hand and marry her. They didn't really get what it meant, that they were birthing new life into the world that would change the world forever. They just said yes to their call. So I challenge you, congregation. I challenge you. I challenge you. When you get up on Sunday morning and say, yeah, I don't think I'm going to go to church today, I want you to know that it is not just about you coming and getting your cup filled by somebody you think is going to share an inspiring message with you, or even more, not getting your cup filled because you think somebody doesn't have anything to say to you. You have no idea who you are here to touch. I am convinced that our time together is not just about you getting your cup filled, but about you taking that cup and spilling it all over each other. That love that just flows out of us being centered and grounded and open to whatever God is calling us to do. I trust that as I go and fill my cup, that you will continue getting your cup filled. You will wrap yourself around this great church. You will bring people here trusting that God's going to be here whether I'm not, whether I am or not. Amen? Don't discount the Holy Spirit or just think that the Holy Spirit can only move through one venue, one container. We are all carrying the good news to birth the holy in this place, to share God's unconditional love with the world that walks in this door and the world dying to find this door. Each of you, in your own way, bring something. Joseph, after some discernment, made a different decision. He didn't know the end of the story like we do. You don't know the end of the story. I guarantee you, I don't know the end of the story, but I'm going to go take some time away so that I can continue the story with you, so that we together can continue to share God's love in powerful and profound ways to continue touching hearts and lives. Will you join me in this sabbatical? Will you step into something new and learn something new while I'm gone? Will you pray for me as I pray for you? When I became the pastor here, I was interviewed by the Gazette. It's been discontinued. It's not a magazine anymore. But the Brian Feist, who interviewed me, said, "What will MCC Tampa look like when you're done?" I thought that was an odd question. It's about my arrival, not my departure. But I thought it was brilliant. And I looked at him and I said, "When I'm done at MCC Tampa, the city of Tampa will not be able to imagine itself without this church." That is not just my work. That is our work. There are people who come here every week saying to me, "I didn't know you were here." If there's one church in Tampa that I want the city of Tampa to not be able to imagine itself without, it is the life-giving love of MCC Tampa. Our work has just begun, my friends. We can't even imagine what God is calling us to next. God is calling us right now to come and offer ourselves. And that is a commitment I have wrapped myself around and invite you to wrap yourself around to. And that will be the greatest gift we can give each other in this holy season and the new year to come. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks and praise for this amazing story of hope, of new life, that is just as relevant today in our own journey as it was when the journey began. Meet us, O God, in the places of our heart's longings. Meet us in the places of our fear and our yes and our opportunity and our rest and our learning and our excitement and our joy and in the promise of new life as we continue to open ourselves up. As the angel Gabriel said, "Do not be afraid, God. Meet us in the places of our fear, and let fear not be the only reason we say no." Bless us in this great work we continue. In Christ's name, amen.
Still my soul.
This meal.
On that night, when Jesus was gathered his friends and his family, he took bread and he blessed it and broke it. Passed it to each and every one of them, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it, for this is my body, which will be given for you."
And And at the close of the meal, he took into his hands the cup. And he raised it, and he blessed it, and he passed it to everyone, saying, "Drink deeply, for this is my life and my love and my passion poured out for you. When you eat this bread and drink this cup, know I am with you always."
Gracious and holy Sovereign, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for the gift of this table that reminds us every day that we are your beloved children. Transform us, O God, as you transform each other.
At MCC Tampa and at MCCs around the globe, we celebrate an open table. That means you don't have to be a member of this church or any church to come and receive these gifts. The invitation for you is to come just as you are. The usher will guide you.
Be still, my soul.
Sleep, as long.